This is Africa News Tonight on the Voice of America.
Hello, welcome to VOA Africa. Thank you for joining us. I'm Yehia Suhib in Washington. Here is what's coming up on Africa News Tonight.
This is by far the largest single shipment of supplies since the start of the pandemic. And it will ensure that people living in countries with some of the weakest health systems are able to get tested and treated while ensuring that health workers on the front lines are properly protected.
That's World Food Program spokeswoman Elizabeth Burrs on medical supplies going to a number of African countries to help contain the spread of COVID-19. Details coming up. And due to the coronavirus, the International Monetary Fund is predicting a major economic downturn for sub-Saharan Africa. These stories and more ahead on Africa News Tonight. But first, our top story. The International Monetary Fund is predicting a major economic downturn for sub-Saharan Africa this year due to the coronavirus and is granting debt relief for 25 poor countries, mostly in Africa, to help them free up funds to fight the pandemic. The IMF said today that gross domestic product in sub-Saharan Africa is expected to contract 1.6% this year, compared with 3.1% growth last year. The World Bank has made similar projections. Particularly hard hit is South Africa's economy, which fell into recession in the final quarter of last year and is expected to contract 5.8% this year. Nigeria's GDP is forecast to fall 3.4% this year after growing 2.2% in 2019, largely due to the decline in oil prices. The IMF said the debt relief program is aimed at providing grants to its poorest and most vulnerable members to cover the IMF debt obligations for an initial phase over the next 6 months. The IMF and the World Bank have called for rich nations to stop collecting debt payments from poor countries from May 1st through June 2021. Last week, the World Bank said it would provide $160 billion in emergency aid over 15 months to help countries stricken by the virus. Measles immunization campaigns in 24 countries are being delayed, and more will be postponed due to COVID-19, according to the Measles and Rubella Initiative, MNRI. MNRI says the pandemic requires a coordinated effort and commitment of resources to ensure frontline health workers are protected as they face and respond to the new threat. But at the same time, MNRI says we must champion efforts to protect essential measles vaccination services now and for the future. The World Health Organization, WHO, has issued new guidelines to help countries sustain immunization activities during the COVID-19 pandemic. The guidelines recommend that governments temporarily pause preventative immunization campaigns where there is no active outbreak of vaccine-preventable disease. MNRI partners, which include the Red Cross, the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, UNICEF, and WHO, strongly agree with these recommendations. According to an MNRI statement, however, as COVID-19 continues to spread over 117 million children in 37 countries, may miss out on life-saving measles vaccine. Despite having a safe and effective vaccine over 50 years, MNRI points out measles cases surged over recent years and claimed more than 140,000 lives in 2018, mostly children and babies, underscoring the need to ensure vaccination. The United Nations is transporting the first cargo of vital medical supplies today to a number of African countries to help them contain the spread of COVID-19. The supplies, which are provided by the World Health Organization and transported by the World Food Programme, will be airlifted from Addis Ababa, Ethiopia, to countries most in need. Lisa Schlein reports from Geneva.
Latest reports put the number of coronavirus infections in Africa at more than 10,500, including more than 500 deaths. But the World Health Organization fears the epidemic could spread quickly because of the fragility of health systems throughout the continent. WHO says this so-called solidarity flight is only the first part of a larger effort to ship life-saving medical supplies to 95 countries across all six WHO regions. Spokeswoman for the UN World Food Programme, Elizabeth Beers, says the cargo includes 1 million face masks as well as personal protective equipment and ventilators. She says the supplies will be enough to protect health workers while treating more than 30,000 patients across the continent.
This is by far the largest single shipment of supplies since the start of the pandemic. And it will ensure that people living in countries with some of the weakest health systems are able to get tested and treated while ensuring that health workers on the front lines are properly protected.
WFP has a team of 25 aviation and logistics staff based at the airport in Addis Ababa. The agency provides logistical support to all humanitarian agencies, NGO partners, and governments. It ships essential supplies and transports humanitarian workers wherever they are needed. The African Union will coordinate the operation to see that crucial supplies go where they are most needed. WFP says it is ready to set up the logistics backbone for global COVID-19 efforts. But establishing humanitarian hubs around the world to store and transport the crucial medical cargo is costly. WFP notes its appeal for $350 million has been met with a tepid response. It says it has received only 24% of what it needs. The UN Food Agency is urgently calling on donors to provide the money needed to carry out this vital COVID-19 humanitarian operation. Lisa Schlein for VOA News, Geneva.
Some people are concerned that the spread of false information and conspiracy theories about coronavirus or COVID-19 could jeopardize the fight against the pandemic. Reporter Kutsai Musengi brings us more.
In Zimbabwe and elsewhere in Africa, it is common to hear some individuals confessing to having been healed of some ailment through divine intervention or miracles. Many individuals also consult traditional healers or so-called witch doctors for various afflictions. 38-year-old Alice Makata is the chairperson of a provincial chapter of a civic organization that champions women's rights in Zimbabwe. Makata, who lives in Gweru, Zimbabwe's third biggest city, says as a community leader, she is concerned about such beliefs and practices when the world is grappling with the coronavirus pandemic. She also says the misinformation and conspiracy theories that are being spread over coronavirus can hamper efforts to fight it.
There are a lot of things, a lot of theories and conspiracies that we are hearing out there about coronavirus. Some from our families, some from our communities, and even from our different religious sects. However, the bulk of the information is coming from the social media, leaving a lot of us in confusion. We no longer know what to believe.
Another community leader, Charles Mazorodze of the Gweru Residents Forum, says he also worries that as the coronavirus continues to kill people across the world, the misinformation and fallacies could put people at risk. Liberian journalist Peter Kwekwe is the president of the West African Journalists Association. He says most people in sub-Saharan Africa believe in traditional religion and myths, as well as in churches that claim to perform miracles, making them more vulnerable to conspiracy theories and misinformation. Kwekwe says such beliefs were evident during Ebola outbreaks and urges journalists to help fight false information about the coronavirus pandemic.
We encourage professional journalists and patriotic citizens to join the fight against disinformation on especially social media. We have to confront fake news, like the whole world is rallying to battle coronavirus. At the end of the day, people die because we misinform them.
Media lecturer Admire Mare of Namibia University of Science and Technology says the proliferation of conspiracy theories and misinformation about coronavirus is not peculiar to Africa. He, however, says that official communication in most African countries is slow and often perceived to be unreliable. Additionally, in many countries the press is muzzled, so citizens end up resorting to all kinds of sources of information, especially in the midst of a global crisis, thanks to advances in information communication technology. Mare says government and public health experts should communicate in a timely manner.
Essentially, yes, communication is very important in these times of coronavirus, but also we need to not lose sight of the fact that we are dealing with a crisis, and the crisis is to make sure that we save lives.
Dr. Simbi Soranga is a Zimbabwean physician based in Charlotte, North Carolina, in the United States. He says the fake news, conspiracy theories, and quackery regarding coronavirus is similar to what happened when HIV/AIDS ravaged Africa during the 90s. Ranga says it is disappointing that some opinion leaders, including some politicians and religious leaders, are also spreading misinformation.
Unfortunately, there have been a lot of theories which are baseless and irresponsible. There have been people who have talked about that the virus was manufactured somewhere such that people will be asked to take a vaccine which might kill certain groups of people. That is so untrue. People are mixing up some truths with half-truths and outright lies. And unfortunately, this does not help our situation.
Former Zimbabwean health minister and physician Dr. Henry Madzurira is a practicing Christian. He cautions that people of faith must still take heed of professional advice.
God expects us to do certain things correctly depending on the information that he has allowed us to have. We have a lot of scientific information at our hands right now about this contagion. We must take the necessary steps to stop this pandemic by following the advice that we're getting from our government, the advice that we're getting from the World Health Organization. Let's keep it, and then we'll be able to stop this pandemic.
There's no cure or vaccine yet for coronavirus, and it may be several months before one is found. Health experts say the best way to limit the spread of coronavirus is to maintain personal hygiene and social distancing. Reporting for VOA from Gweru, this is Kudzanai Musengi.
As the global community grapples with the COVID-19 pandemic, economies are reeling under the weight of the disease. Zimbabwe is one of the vulnerable nations because of the economic downturn the country has been experiencing. Adigando gives us more on the story.
Zimbabwe's creative and cultural sector and tourism are reeling from the coronavirus scourge as crowds vanish due to the practice of social distancing. The National Arts Council of Zimbabwe has ordered artists and organizers to cancel events following the presidential proclamation of a national state of disaster. Bulawayo is widely regarded as the country's cultural hub, where thousands of youthful creatives eke out a living amidst a biting economic meltdown. Local groups such as Nobuntu, an all-female a cappella imbube ensemble, and dance group Iasa occasionally tour the world to earn their living. With travel bans and flight cancellations due to the COVID-19 pandemic, these groups are likely in for a long dry patch. Bulawayo is also home to the 16-year-old Intwasa Arts Festival that has attracted artists from across the SADC region each spring. VOA spoke to Raisdon Bayer, the festival's director. Bayer is also an industry leader as one of the founders of the Bulawayo Arts Awards. He says that the situation is dire for artists.
It's a virus that discourages gatherings, and basically creatives depend on gatherings for survival, and that basically means for the maybe the near future, that won't happen. For the festival, I think it also happens in September. And just yesterday, talking to some of our partners and other people. A lot of people are afraid to plan beyond probably the 60 days.
Nkosilati Ncube, age 35, a local artist, agrees.
An artist will not make anything at all because we are not selling CDs. There is piracy, there's no pension, there's no whatever. So an artist depends on a musical show. Once you say musical shows are being cancelled, you've already what? Shut down the musical industry. An artist will not survive in the country.
The World Tourism Organization has estimates that COVID-19 could cause $30 to $50 billion in losses in international tourism receipts. Regional airlines such as South Africa's Airlink has suspended flights to Victoria Falls and other tourist hotspots. Reporting for VOA, this is Adigondo.
You were listening to Africa News Tonight. I'm Yehi Suhib in Washington. Here is a recap of our top stories. Because of the pandemic, the IMF is predicting major economic downturn for sub-Saharan Africa. And measles immunization campaigns in 24 countries and more will be postponed due to COVID-19, according to the Measles and Rubella Initiative. And for more news and information, visit our website at voanews.com. Countries struggling to contain the COVID-19 pandemic are scrambling to buy intensive care equipment, especially ventilators, which are needed in the most critical cases. In Africa, the coronavirus is spreading much faster than ICU equipment can be brought in and nurses trained. As a result, physicians in Kenya are drawing on the experience of colleagues overseas to prepare. April Zhu reports from Nairobi.
Long before the novel coronavirus that causes COVID-19 was discovered, Dr. Wangari Waweru-Siika had for years been working on answering the difficult life and death questions that the world is now asking in the midst of the pandemic. Which patient gets an ICU bed with a ventilator and other life support equipment, and which doesn't? Waweru-Siika is a practicing anesthesiologist and professor at Nairobi's Aga Khan University Hospital. She has been at the forefront of developing ethical frameworks for intensive care in Kenya.
You need to have a clear triage system that is different from your normal triage system when it comes to COVID. There are certain patients who some institutions around the world, if they get COVID, are not being admitted to intensive care because their chances of survival are minimal.
Kenya has around 180 confirmed cases of the coronavirus. Six people there have died, according to the latest figures from the Johns Hopkins University, which is tracking the global pandemic. Among all COVID-19 cases, 14% will require hospitalization and oxygen support, according to the World Health Organization's guidance on clinical management. Although only 5% will require admission to an intensive care unit, many African countries' ICUs are already stretched. Kenya has 518 ICU beds, according to the Kenya Healthcare Federation and Critical Care Society, although not all are fully functional. In February, a Makerere University study reported that Uganda has 55 ICU beds. South Sudan has 24 ICU beds and 4 ventilators. Not all ICUs available in Kenya are fully used. Thomas Chokwe is an anesthesiologist at the University of Nairobi and Kenyatta National Hospital. He says that even in some major regional referral hospitals that have recently expanded ICUs, only a portion of the beds can be used safely because of staffing shortages.
You get a pandemic like now and you suddenly realize you require ICU specialists. You don't train those overnight. You must have trained them over a long period of time and you must have them as part of your resource base.
The Critical Care Society of Kenya, where Siika sits on the executive board, has turned to the insight of ICU specialists in countries with overstretched medical centers to develop guidelines for Kenyan physicians. As for Waweru Siika, she says she hopes that the COVID-19 pandemic highlights the importance of intensive care specialists here in Kenya. April Zhu for VOA News, Nairobi.
Senegal has more than 200 reported cases of the coronavirus, prompting President Macky Sall to declare a state of emergency last week. Among those most vulnerable to the virus are the street children of the capital who live in crowded boarding homes and are forced to beg for a living. Estelle Nyando reports from Dakar. Those trying to guard the children say that if an outbreak begins, there is not much they can do.
Jules Suleiman Jai distributes milk to street children know as Talibé in the city of Bour, south of Dakar. The children are told to line up single file with a distance of 1 meter between each person. Son of Talibé himself, Jai is co-founder of Pour une Enfance Senegal for a childhood in Senegal. The Franco-Senegalese Association was created in 2012 to help street children who are estimated to number at least 100,000. Njai says the Talibés who beg for a living are among the most vulnerable to catching and spreading the coronavirus. Most live in Daras, boarding home run by Islamic scholars that are notorious for unsanitary, crowded conditions. Suleiman says they tell the children they must not shake hands with people, and when they come in from outside, they must clean up. He says some of the kids have even made a homemade sink to wash their hands. In 2016, Senegalese authorities introduced a law that officially prohibits children from begging in an effort to get the Talibé off the streets, but the law has never been enforced. The National Food Security Council of Senegal says it plans to provide for underprivileged families to help get them through the coronavirus pandemic. Nurobay Diouf is a director of a child protection committee with Senegal's Ministry of Family. He says Senegalese authorities have a coronavirus emergency plan for street children. The city of Dakar has made 13 educational social centers available, says Diouf, as well as other community centers. They are talking about a capacity of 1,500 beds, he says. Keeping the Talibés off the streets to avoid coronavirus is key, says nurse of For Childhood Senegal, Amara Thiam. Thiam says if a Talibé child is contaminated, it will be a disaster because their Dara, maybe all Daras, will be contaminated. When they go out on the streets, he says, they interact a lot with each other. Before the pandemic, he ran the center's clinic, which gave basic medical care to about 30 street children per day. For a Childhood in Senegal also ran a center that offered classrooms, playrooms, shower, a bakery, and a vegetable garden, making it a haven for Talibés. But now the center, like much of Dakar, is closed to prevent spreading the virus. Co-founder Jai says a stay-at-home lockdown may be the only thing that spares the kids from catching the virus and passing it to others. Estelle Jonjo for VOA News, Dakar.
And that wraps up this edition of African News Tonight. For all the latest developments on the continent 24/7, visit our website at voanews.com. And on behalf of our producer, Mokbili Abaro, I'm Yehi Suhib in Washington, thanking you again for tuning in and choosing The Voice of America.
VOA brings you the best in African music on the African beat. African beat showcases the latest and the greatest of contemporary African music, from bobo music to hip life, bonga flavor to soukous, afrobeat to ndombolo and makossa to kwaito. The African beat on VOA has it all. And it's happening right here, Mondays through Fridays at 09:05 and 20:05 UTC, right after the international news.
Hey, sports fans, brighten your day by tuning in to the sunny side of sports Monday through Friday at 1630 and 1830 UTC. Join us on Facebook at facebook.com/VOA Sunny and on Twitter at VOA Sunny Sports. Or check out the blog at blogs.voanews.com/sunny. It's the sunny side of sports right here on the Voice of America.